Hi guys, I'm Prakshal and you are listening to Now Podcast, and in this episode we have Surbhi with us. Surbhi is a stand-up artist, a TV writer, podcaster and a certifiable overthinker. Surbhi hosts one of the best podcasts in India, The Overthink Tank, where she overthinks problems with her comedian friend. From pop culture to dating etiquette, from human emotions to AI, she analyzes everything. And in this conversation, we overthink a little about overthinking, her career as a stand-up and a podcaster, and also her tips for both stand-up artists and podcasters. I hope you guys will enjoy this amazing, amazing conversation. All right, Surbhi, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you are a podcaster and a stand-up artist. So first of all, I want to know, which one did you became first? Like...
I think, again, I tried stand-up comedy first, and in the midst like of stand-up, I discovered podcasting. And again, I just became so rapt about like the storytelling format, which was only audio. So I heard a lot of podcasts, and I think in the middle of stand-up, I took a break to just explore podcasting. I even worked at a podcasting agency for 8 months, and I produced like 7 podcasts. One of them like won an award by Apple. So I thought like I really like delved into podcasting for like a good time. And since then, I've just been like, it's a very different side of me. I feel like on like stand-up is a different side of me, and podcasting is a very different side of me, where I get to get like, I get to be more vulnerable in a podcast and get to be more open and talk about actual shit and not just like try to make jokes. So,
all right, we'll come back to the podcasting thing like later on, since the stand-up began first. So how did like, what was your entry to the stand-up world, or like what was the first time you got intrigued by it?
Oh, stand-up. The first time I did stand-up was just because of the fact that it looked so cool. because you know, when you're new in Bombay and all these, like, I'm from Ghaziabad, and even though I'd like lived in Bombay for a while, but like I was still like saving out the culture of the city, you know, and the vibe and this live culture. So I'm super new to it, and I really got, again, before I do anything, I just watch and observe a lot of people, other people do it. So I think that's my process. Before I jump into it, I just like go to a lot of shows, and I drag my friends to all of these shows. And then eventually, one of my roommates convinced me to write a 5-minute set. And I think it happened in, I don't know what year it was. I should know what year it was. In 2016? 2016. I was living with a flatmate, and she convinced me to write a 5-minute set. And I would practice it every day. And we would have like open mics every Thursday. So I missed like so many, like even though I had a set ready, I didn't go because I was like, this is too scary. And why am I even putting myself out there? What's the point? But eventually I had to give in, and I went on stage. And that went super well. Considering it was my first set, it went pretty well. And then I just decided to pursue it because I was also going through a breakup. And I've noticed when I'm going through a breakup, it gives me like some sort of a motivation to just keep working. And keep, you know, I don't know, it's a different kind of motivation. Breakups really inspired me to like figure out my life.
and it also might help you in like looking at a sad situation like a little bit funny, like, you know, making them and using it as a material. And like, how did then it evolved from 2016? The first set, it went, usually like most of the artists, like for most of the artists, their first set was very bad. Like I have spoke to a lot of artists, their first set was they don't even feel like talking about that set. But
so, but I'm really proud of my first set. I'm actually really proud of it. I feel like I've had, like, I didn't have as many filters back then because I didn't have this light on me, a spotlight on me. But after, I mean, it's just like, it's just pros and cons. So after my first stand-up and whatever, this video got picked up by Queens of Comedy, which was a show on TLC, a reality TV show with female comedians. And it was a great experience. But I feel like it also sort of put me in some sort of a pressure to like keep doing stand-up. And then I got like a little more anxious on stage. Because I've always been like an anxious person. But like this added to the pressure of like being funny now that you've been on a show kind of like became harder for me. Which is like, every time I look back on my first set, I was like, look at me, dude. I'm talking about sexual harassment on my first set. Now, because everything I do will eventually end up on the internet, it's kind of like scary about about what, not like I'm saying anything wrong, it's just my opinions, but like there are a lot of people who want to like constantly call you like the SJW warriors or whatever. So like it's I feel like it's added like a little layer of filter. So I really admire my first set.
And maybe like that's where your podcasting world like maybe helping you being vulnerable and talking about things. And you know, like I mean, stand up is whole like is so different than podcasting. And do you think like creating like content for comment, like for your stand up shows helped you in figuring out topics or like eventually planning your podcast? Like as you said, how did that happen?
I mean, comedy has been a part of like everything I do, but I think podcast is also like a comedy podcast if I think about it. Except that I try and be more vulnerable with comedians, like just comedians we're talking to, but we get into things that they've never spoken about, like breakups and like the science behind breakups and like how it like, and just things that you don't expect your comedians like, or like your comedian idols also go through kind of thing.
Exactly.
Which like, because they seem they're perfect. They seem like they have their shit in like order. And just that's something I want to highlight also. Like, hey, man, the internet is not giving you the right picture. We are as fucked up as you are. And just brace yourself for this life. So it's a very, like, you're right. I did get some sort of, like, I get to explore some other side of myself because of my podcast.
And, like, your show is called Overthink Podcast, right? Like, Overthink. Like, I saw almost every episode of, like, Overthink Pod, like, while researching about you. And I feel like, you kind of, it's, I thought it will be just going, drilling down to only one, like, overthinking. You know, some overthinking is, if you just talk about overthinking, it usually considered as a bad habit, right?
Yeah.
You should not overthink. Everybody is, like, talking about the same thing. You should not overthink. And you started a podcast about that.
Yeah.
So, how, first of all, what was the reaction when you told like people around you, like you're starting a podcast that is called Overthink Podcast? Like, what was the reaction of the people around you?
I think, okay, for this one, I've had so many people tell me like the wrong, giving me the wrong advice. I don't know. I just feel like I've had a great journey where like I had some people who were like, this won't like really engage audiences, but I've had people who've been like super like, just try it out, do it, if you like it, do it. And again, I know that overthinking as a concept seems bad, but the truth is everyone does it. So I wanted to make other people feel less alone in a way, that because it's like with overthinking out loud, you know, if I'm in the same room as you are while we're overthinking, it makes us feel like, okay, this is normal. It's, you know, if you call something a phenomenon, it makes it feel less scary. Say if I tell you, say if you have a phobia of like, oh my God, I really hate, like I have a fear of heights. But it, now that you know that this is a genuine fear and it's called this and like there is a word for it and a lot of people suffer from it, you kind of feel like, okay, cool, I got it. This is common. This happens to a lot of us. And it just makes us feel less alone, which is why it's overthinking. But we're also telling you that, hey man, we're all in the same shit.
It's like, I think providing that side of the social media that is not people are uploading, but you're talking out it out loud with popular comedians, and you know, and also like I think like talking about overthinking, like overthinking a bit about overthinking here. So I think there are like two kind of overthinking, like, and I'm just thinking out loud only. And it's like, first, like one that is considered bad, and I think that is bad. You are just dwelling on one thing, like this happened and that's it. And you're just dwelling on that, like you're going down and down in that spiral. And there is this other kind of overthinking that I think you very well kind of frame it out in your podcast. Is like you take a topic. Suppose that you take one screen addiction one with, I think it was with Kanan, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of like framed it in a way like you kind of overthinked it, but you were like kind of progressing at the same time. It was not dwelling upon, ki, no man, oh, like screen addiction is bad. And you were just dwelling on that fact. You're trying to find out the solutions of it. Like Kanan gave, like I actually am using that advice that Kanan gave about grayscale.
That's grayscale. How do you like it?
It's so amazing. It's, everything is so boring, right?
Yeah, it is.
Like one of my friend called me and she was like in grayscale. I was like, dude, let me like turn this off, please. Like, I mean, everything is just so super boring. I was not aware of that this kind of feature exists in my phone. And I think like that is maybe that is a good way to, like, that is kind of good or the right way to overthink when you kind of made a progress towards something.
Yeah. The thing is, yes, again, we won't, like, even though we're overthinking and we won't have a conclusive answer, but there will be some answers somewhere. Like, we'll find some closure to some things, if not, like, everything. Which is why I really try and, like, address a lot of mental health issues with, like, a therapist on the panel. So, I don't want to give out advice that's just based on my opinion. I want to give some constructive advice to people. So, there is something that they learn from this, like, an hour-long conversation. Because it's fun to talk to my friends, and I can go on for, like, hours. But what is the listener getting? So really wanted it to have some sort of, like, takeaway. Like, what did you learn? You will either learn something about yourself, or you learn something about, like, something that we do and that's really helped us. Meditation and, you know, this grayscale thing. Again, that's an attempt I've tried to make. I've always tried to get some people who have, like, an extra knowledge about this stuff. So I'm calling my comedian friends, but I'm making sure they have some, like, extra, like, information about this stuff, which is like Kanan Gill's episode about how to put your phone down. This has, like, a extra this thing, because we prepare for this episode, and it turns out Kanan's special on Netflix is also about similar habits that we have and how our attention is just deteriorating. So again, it's a nice process how I, like, list down all my guests as well. Like, I need them to have some extra knowledge about something.
So, like, how do you, like, figure out topics? Is it something that you are currently, like, thinking about, or you try to pick, like, general things people are struggling with?
So I have an email. So the best thing about Overthink Tank is I overthink problems that people send me. So is why there is an email, and at the end of every podcast, I ask people to send me their problems so we can overthink it for them. And every season I get tons of email, and some of them I just, like, there's, like, long emails, which I just feel so bad, but, like, they're so personal. I don't even know how to get into them. They're very, but I sit down and I figure out what are the recurring topics that people want me to overthink. And a lot of them are about dating and relationships, because of our Indian culture, we're not used to talking about these things out loud around our family. So it's like a secretive thing, and you just want, like, a little bit of a hope. So a lot of mental health questions, a lot of dating related questions, and then just generally questions about, like, what is life? And, you know, just very big existential questions also, I guess. Is sleep really important? And I was like, well, I don't think so. Let's overthink this. We did that episode, and it's just, like, tiny episodes that, like, I do some research on. I figure out, like, what are some readings about it, and then I get some people to talk about it.
Right. And do you have, like, some advice? Like, you are, like, one of the most earliest podcasters in India. So do you have, like, advice for the budding podcasters, like, who wants to start a podcast? So, yeah.
Yes. I think the most important thing I've learned from, like, this medium is that it's like there's something about, like, audio that really seeps directly into your brain. Like, it forms a more intimate connection with your mind than just video. So I feel like if you're thinking about making a podcast, think about something that, first of all, is close to your heart. Okay. Don't, like, because a lot of people want to talk about politics, but will you have fun? Will you have joy? Will it bring you happiness? So even if you just want to talk to your friends, that's completely okay. But find out something that you really enjoy talking about, and sort of limit it, and sort of, like, you know, make it what's so special about your podcast? Think about, like, what is something that you're doing and nobody, because there's so many other podcasts where people are just sitting around mics and talking to their friends, but they still have some niche. Like, I remember there's a podcast that just reviews Gilmore Girls. They watch every episode, and then they just go episode by episode, and they just talk about Gilmore Girls. So there's so many ways. If you want to start, you can do it. And, like, right now, I feel like it's also the best time, because you're anyway staying indoors. There's less noise pollution. You don't need a real studio. You can get some basic microphones from Amazon and get started. And I'm really impressed with this technology, the Zencaster technology. So, yeah, and once you get started, I feel like one important thing is I've noticed is that a lot of people feel like, what if this episode does badly? They feel like, what if this is not me, or, like, this one people take the wrong way? If I'm not sure about a particular episode, I feel free to let it go. It's completely okay
You don't upload it, right?
I don't upload it, because I'm like, well, this doesn't bring me any confidence. And if I'm going to keep like thinking about this again and again. Even after I upload it, I'll be punishing myself, be like, oh God, why did I do it? Then just it's okay to not upload it. It's your podcast. You don't have you don't owe it to anyone else. Ki, oh, because I get it. It was a good conversation, but something didn't work out. Maybe the footage didn't work out. Maybe the audio was badly done. Or maybe just the conversation didn't go anywhere. It just felt off. Don't upload it. Start again. Maybe call that friend again. You know, or maybe that episode title didn't fit the guest you had. So figure it out. And yeah, just be like, be okay with letting go of some episodes that you didn't feel, that you don't feel confident about. Instead of punishing yourself, be like, oh no, I have to do it now.
Talking about numbers, like in stand-up also and in podcast also, do you like, do you think about in terms of number, like do they impact like your motivation or process of going and keep working towards it?
The thing is, they do. I'm not gonna deny that they don't at all, because it's really, I really like when my podcast listens go up, and then I am. But I think this is like this whole like comparing and checking what rank am I on Apple Podcasts or like what rank am I on Spotify. That ended when season two ended. Season two was when I was super like into like, oh my God, we're trending. Oh my God, we're like on, we're like right below Conan's podcast. And it was a big deal and it still is, but I've just stopped checking now because I feel like all of that other stuff also really impacts like my judgment of my work, because then I'm just thinking, well, so just I've tried to like associate less with like my Spotify ratings or my Apple ratings. Now I just do basic like social media where I just want to like make a good video, you know, make it a good entertaining video, and if people like it, they'll listen to it, and it's just fun content to roll, like just to share with your friends, to be like, well, look at this 1 minute video that made me smile today. I'm not like really this thing about shares or like listens, but I do check my Pinecast, which is like my server, which tells me how many listens I have and how many subscribers I have. Those numbers don't affect me, but I keep a check. I'm like, okay, this episode is getting more shares than the other one. But that's all. How about you? Do you get affected by these numbers?
I used to. And like, and I think like in my first week only, I hit it like the Apple list. I don't know how.
Yeah.
And after that, it for some time, it went downhill from there. And,
and yeah, because once you hit the Apple top 8, you just want to constantly keep your position with her. You just want to be like, I don't want to fall off. And that makes you really beat yourself up for like, are you something a podcast? Mein, why haven't I gotten the appreciation I deserve?
And like, how do you like, there's a limit to like, if you're starting out, there's a limit like to the extent you can promote things, and you can ask people around you and the people, your friends, your colleagues, everybody, you can, there's a limit to it, asking like, dude, listen to it. Like, I don't do this too much. I just like this broadcast list or WhatsApp status, like these kind of things, I just upload to that, and I assume like they, if somebody is interested into it, probably they will listen. If I just keep pushing them, I think that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they'll just hate you.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. So for me, I'm trying, like, I think I'm but trying also, to be.
It's a thing, like, I've also really, I'm thinking about, like, how we both of us feel bad about, like, self-promoting. So that's another thing we'll have to, like, I think work towards. Because a lot of people promote their shit, but you just feel guilty about like promoting it excessively. And some people shamelessly promote like their podcast every single day. That's all I see on their social media.
And I think that's annoying sometimes.
It like, is annoying. It is. But I don't know. We need to find a middle ground where like,
exactly,
we're not like not doing, because now when I do it, I only like reshare the post on my, from my, I have a different page from my overthink page, because I wanted to be like, okay, fine, if you're interested in my podcast, you go there. And so that's a different side of me. But, and maybe I'll promote things every once in a while, but I don't want to overdo it.
All right. So this is the last section of this podcast. And so what is like some quick advice you have for stand-up artists? We have talked about podcasting a lot.
Man, okay, quick tips would be, try and bring the same kind of funny you are with your friends on stage, and I think you'll nail it, because I struggle with that, but I feel like that's ideal. So if you just start with like, okay, the friends around me like this kind of funny, maybe if I can develop it into a joke, you know, like a setup and a punchline, maybe it'll work. And it mostly will. Because like when you are at your natural best is when you are the most hilarious. So try and bring that to your side early on, because otherwise then it becomes super like, once you start stand up, you get so many influences around you, you're sort of like believing that whatever everybody else is doing is the right way of doing it, and forget that you could have like a unique way of doing comedy. So make sure you keep, you know, that whatever you bring is a very different value and has its own worth. So maintain that side of you that's like funny off stage also, and it'll be fun.
So what do you do on days when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused or like not feel like doing things? What do you like, how do you deal with that?
Man, I, first of all, I try hard to come out of it. Sometimes when I'm feeling unproductive, I beat myself about and I feel super guilty. I feel like, oh, I'm not being productive. Oh, this and all that. But then I just let it be. I just lean into it and I let myself waste the whole day, sometimes a whole week. And I know a lot of people can't afford to do this if you have a day job, but honestly, I found it like the only thing that works for me is to like really delve into it and figure out, if I don't want to do something, why do I not want to do it? I just kind of, if I'm feeling unmotivated, I also try to do things that are off social media record. Like I won't put like everything online. I will try to maybe play some, I'll do gaming with my brother. I'll probably just sit down and do some stop motion. I love making stop motion videos because it takes so much of your time. It's like an 8-hour process, and I really enjoy wasting my time making stop motion videos, and I love doing that. And I've also started to fill my all this extra vac time that we have with baking. So do something that has like no purpose, you know.
I love that advice. Like I think people are like, everything has to be a purpose. Like whatever you're doing, what will you make out of it? Will you earn money? Will you get fit? Like, dude, man, come on. I'm just doing it for the sake of doing it. I'm enjoying it. That's it. Like there's no other way around it.
Yeah. Because also we've grown up in a, like, I feel like most of us have had like a childhood where we've been taught that time is money. So every time, every single second that I waste is like I'm wasting money. So it makes us very like very financially insecure. We're always like anxious of not making enough money or not being successful enough. And I feel like this will always be a part of us, like this financial thing. So like some days when you feel not motivated, just lean into it and let it be, waste that whole day and eat ice cream, watch Gilmore Girls, and just and tell That's everybody amazing. Around you today you're not going to do anything.
My second last question. This is my favorite one. Okay. I call it a 3x3 matrix. Oh. What are the three artists, three books, and three habits that have impacted your life the most?
Oh my God. Three artists. I know. She's not exactly an artist, but like as a spokesperson, I really like Jacinda, Prime Minister of New Zealand. I really talk to her, and I feel like whatever she's done, especially right now, she has like managed the situation so well, dude. I really want New Zealand citizenship, and that's all because of Jacinda.
That's the new goal for Surbhi.
And awesome. And also Fleabag as an artist is amazing. She does so many other things apart from, like, she's also, she makes like comedy sitcoms, but she's made so many other things. I really like people who delve into a bunch of other stuff. And like, even if you're a comedian, you're also like maybe writing a TV show. So that's next. Phoebe Waller-Bridge has really inspired me. Who else? I'm super impressed by Rohan Joshi. I feel like I love his work ethic. The kind of, I have like supreme respect for the kind of work ethic he has. He wakes up every day. Again, he's like the kind of person who I want to be like. You know, the person who can like wake up, refresh, and like work out, and like also figure out their life. It's just some kind of, I really admire the work ethic he has. And I hope to achieve that someday.
Three books.
Well, you're in for a surprise because I don't read books. I only listen to audiobooks, but I can recommend some books that I've recently
work.
Okay, so this is a book that I enjoyed, and it's on Audible. It's called How to Come Alive Again, which is her book about like a process, like a step-by-step process to like get out of your depression, or like if you have like mild depressive episodes, how to like feel alive again, how to feel like and it's, I don't know, there's something about this book that makes it seem like it's a friendly advice. And if I don't like something, because the author has like made it super clear of like, these are my ways, and like, you don't have to agree to this. But I like how she's written it with a sense of like humor. But I don't know, this book has really helped me. It's called How to Come Alive Again by Beth McCall. and it's a great audiobook. Listen to it. It has like a lot of process on how you finally see the light as the sea glimmer and things. And every time I'm like having like a little bit of a low time, I kind of just listen, go back and listen to some of these episodes. So that's one book. Oh my God, I can't believe I have to give you two more.
You can tell me three habits.
Three habits. One of my favorite habits is that...
Overthinking.
Oh, some habits that have changed my life. Oh my God. Yeah,
that have impacted life.
My life, not entirely changed. Correct. I think one habit is to not look at my phone every like half an hour, because I've also realized that every time I look at my phone, or like this is also science, that every time you get distracted, it takes you 21 minutes to get back to your original task. And it blows my mind about like how distracting things around me are. So found it like minimalist approach to technology has really helped me, like having less equipment around me or keeping my desk clean. I think this clutter, like keeping the clutter away has really helped my life. That's my second habit. I don't like too much like furniture, too much like junk around me. So this idea of like having more free space has really helped my brain to relax. Because if I'm in a room that has too much going on, I feel like I just can't think. I have to be in like maybe outside, or I have to. Also, my third habit would be that I, especially right now, like in the COVID times, I like to get up and like I like to take a shower and dress up on most days. So I feel like I have to go somewhere and I have a purpose, because I'm very used to having like a day job and it throws me off completely when I wake up and I haven't like done anything till 4 p.m. So just like dressing up is one task. Also, okay, sorry, I don't know if this is the fourth habit, but this is my favorite one. Instead of making a to-do list, I've started making a list of all the things that I've done in a day. And it's called a ta-da list. Ta-da! I accomplished all of these things. And that really helps me, because I'm like, wait a second. Look at all these extra things I did without even having them on my to-do list. So it includes like, everything. Calling your mom, yes, put on the to-do list. Ta-da list.
So like you keep creating it like along the day, or you keep like you create it like before sleeping?
Along the day. So I know when I started doing it, it sounded super mechanical. Like, why am I making a record of this? But it really helped me. Dude, I used to do something. I would like make myself a meal and I would note it down my diary. Like, oh, made this meal for myself. And I just felt so accomplished. Even though these were tiny things, but it really grounded me. You know, it really helped me think that, okay, I'm not completely useless.
This is good. Like, I can try it out. All right. Thank you for that final habit, especially.
Thank you.
For the final question, how do you define success and failures?
Oh my God. Is this the final question? No. Really.
I know. Yeah. It has
how
to be
do
like
I
something.
Define success and failure, man. I feel like I haven't figured success out. I haven't figured failure out. But one thing that I know about success and failure is that they're not the opposite. They're not like extreme ends of each other.
Yes.
I feel like failure is also a part of your life, and I mean successes, because if you know it's a very cliche advice, but if you don't feel sadness, how will you feel joy? You know, you need to feel like you need to fail at something so you cannot get too into it, you know. You have to stay humble. It's okay. I think it's what people like the universe does to make
so you, like you don't identify with that success, that this is how like this is who I am.
Exactly. So I let nothing get to me, like get to my head, not failure, not success, which is why I've like stopped like all these number system of looking at my followers or like looking at the number of people listening. I've just really sort of like tried to ground myself in a way that what are things that bring actual value to me. And followers are not in the list. It's my family. Yeah. It's the things that I like doing. And it's stop motion videos.
8 hours work. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. And it was, it went like, I don't know, like where the time went. Although we had like an electricity cut off in between. And it kind of disturbed the whole flow.
Noida electricity supply.
Thanks for helping out, Noida. And... thank you for doing this. It
Thank
was
you.
Amazing.
It was really fun. Thank you for. I'm glad that I spent my day this way. And
I hope you can add this to your ta-da list.
I will. This is genuine work that I have accomplished today. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice day and take care.
You too. Bye.